Well, praise the Lord. Good morning, all. This may be another one of those mornings where I just share a few thoughts and we'll just see where this goes. But I know the Lord has His plan, and that's the one we want. This isn't about me or you or anybody in particular, but this is about the Lord. And my mind went to something that was a very well-known scripture. You know, we don't always need, in fact, we rarely need something that's new and, you know, tickles our intellect and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's like we don't go to a meal and say, oh Lord, I've had that before. There are things that we need just to nourish us and encourage us that are just the right time. And we eat food to sustain us, not to entertain us, or we're supposed to be anyway, unless you're a foodie. But anyway, my mind went to Psalm 23, very familiar scripture. And I think I will just go ahead and read it, since it's rather short. And then just try to share some thoughts. There's a lot in it, potentially. But I don't feel like I'm supposed to just, you know, run down every rabbit trail, which I have a tendency to do if you let me go by myself. But we need the Lord, don't we? We need what He wants to say. And so David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Praise God. There's so much in this, as I say, but it just seems like the Lord wanted David to understand His own heart. And I believe David did in a great measure. He was known as a man after God's own heart. It wasn't just a religion or a God somewhere that you're supposed to please and you hope you don't make Him mad. This was a very personal thing to David, and he understood the relationship better than most. And of course, we know David himself was a shepherd. So this was a very appropriate way for the Lord to convey truth, to help him to understand, just like you were a shepherd, I'm your shepherd. And what an awesome thing that is. And so, David knew what it was to have the responsibility, because sheep are not smart. Something we pointed out many times, and we don't like the idea of being sheep, but nonetheless, that's the reality. Sheep are not able to take care of themselves, and they need someone who actually not just, you know, says, oh, well, there we lost one. But this is someone who cares and who deals with every situation that comes along and makes sure the sheep have what they need. If they have what they need, they're protected from danger. And that's the sense you get from what David expresses here. And the idea of God being a shepherd is not a new one. If you go back, I'm not going to go back there and turn to it, but you look back to see Jacob's final words when he blessed his brothers, or blessed his sons, I should say, and shortly before he passed there in Egypt. Jacob was one that had quite an adventure in his life. Had to run from his brother and lived as a shepherd, but came to know the God of Israel. Of course, his name became Israel, but came to know that this God that had appeared to his father Isaac and his grandfather Abraham. And so he came to know that this God was one who watched over him and took care of him in all kinds of difficult situations. And so he refers to God, to the God who is my shepherd. And you see that sense that the Lord is a shepherd over His people coming up several times. But I see something in this. where the Lord is not just in this vague theological sense, oh, he's our shepherd, he watches over us. This became very personal. And this is what is, I believe, the Lord wants us to get in a deeper way, wants me to get it, so that I'm not just running along with a bunch of truth in my head and kind of muddling through. I want to see it. I want to have a sense. I want this to define my thinking. I want it to define my life, that there is one who watches over me and who cares about me. And he's a shepherd. And of course, you know, the idea of the Lord being my shepherd also, as we said, clearly implies that I'm a sheep and I need one. My God, human nature just absolutely ministers to us a spirit of pride and self-reliance, that I'm going to make my way, I'm capable, it's my life, I'm going to do as I please. And the reality is that people in this world are lost sheep at best. They don't know. They're living in a world that it's not just what we see, it's the spirits of wickedness in high places that Paul refers to. There is a kingdom of darkness that is real, that has blinded the minds of those who don't know the Lord. And people live with the illusion that they can run their own lives and prosper. That's what it's about. And the devil is only too happy to minister that. You know, Jesus talked about those, the false shepherds. Anybody who has a religious philosophy about this is what life is about and it isn't him, they are absolutely operating under a very real inspiration. Where do you think that inspiration comes from? It comes ultimately from the devil. It is his idea planted in the minds of people to deceive them, and he wants to use, abuse, and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. I forget the exact words of Jesus in John 10. But I'll tell you, that's what people are up against. And remember how Jesus looked at the multitudes when he was ministering to them. And he had compassion on them. Why did he have compassion? Remember what it says? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He saw the condition of people who did not know God, did not live under his leadership. And I'll tell you, David was a man who was elevated to a place of great power and great influence. He was given the leadership over other people. There were a prophet of God came and said, God has chosen you to be the shepherd of my people. And yet there was a humility about David that continued right on through his life. Yeah, he really messed up bad that one time, but there was even then he came to a spirit of genuine repentance. There was a heart that recognized who I really am and how much I desperately need him. I'm not here because I need to be exalted. This is not about me. It's not about pride. It's about him. And you read his Psalms and all he says about the greatness of God. This isn't just some God like all these other gods that you got out there. This is the one who made the heavens. This is the one who maintains the stars. This is the one who spoke and it happened. This is the one who rules over everything. What is man that you think about him, he said. Oh my God, this sense of the magnificence of who this God really was and how worthy he was. And yet to see him not just as the great God that I need to be scared that I don't make mad, but to see him as a loving shepherd? Praise God, what an amazing revelation. I wonder how many people here who know this psalm, you're familiar with it, but I wonder to what degree does this testimony reflect us and our day-to-day thinking? Do you think just maybe the Lord wants us to get this in a more personal way to where we can say, the Lord, the one and only, the Lord is present tense. It's not just a fact. This is a daily, moment-by-moment reality. He is my shepherd. This very moment, whatever's happening in my life, he is my shepherd. It's the one upon whom I lean and trust and to whom I look for every kind of need. He is my shepherd. Praise God. He's mine. And of course, and I was thinking about David's humility. You know, David was blessed in so many ways. He came through so many things, as we know, and God brought him through and taught him so many things and then elevated him to a place of great prominence. Not just in Israel, but I mean kings everywhere heard about David. You don't mess with that guy. The God of heaven is, you know, fights for him. And there he was, and living in a palace of made of cedar, which was, I guess, the thing to do in those days. And just, oh, I've made it. I'm here. And yet, you remember how he came to a place where he said, this isn't right. I'm living in a palace of cedar, and the ark is in a tent. I want to build him a house. And the prophet at first said, yeah, do it. And then the Lord revealed unto the prophet, said, oh, that's not my plan. And he went to, and the Lord went to David through the prophet and spoke words of a tremendous prophecy of God's covenant with David and his choice and his love for David and how he was going to have sons that God wouldn't depart from. And one of his sons was going to build him a house, but that's not your job, David. I've raised you up, and you're going to start a kingly line that'll last forever. Guess what? How many of you remember who Jesus was born to and the lineage that he had? His great, great, great whatever was David. He was the king to which God looked, and all these prophecies, all the natural kings, yeah, they came and went, and some of them were good, some of them were bad, but there's one king that came, and boy, he has a kingdom that will never end. To him be glory, and let his name be lifted up. That was the promise. That was the covenant that God made with David. I'll never leave you, and your kingdom, from your descendant, your seed, there's going to be a kingdom that will never pass away. And so David listened to these words and the promises of God, and he went and just got quiet and talked with the Lord. You know, that's a good thing, isn't it? Just to get quiet and just you and the Lord. And his first words out of his mouth were, who am I? Wait a minute, you're the king. Everybody listens to you. You have the power of life and death. What do you mean? No, David still had that sense that I'm the same guy who used to be out there caring for sheep on the backside of nowhere, the one my father almost forgot about. And I wasn't anybody. Who in the world am I, Lord, that you should do this for me? But I wonder how many of us can stop and think. We can take that place that I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of the least of your favors. Praise God. Can literally understand who you are in the natural and yet understand that you are loved. That there's one that oversees the stars and keeps them in their orbit, and yet he cares about you and knows how many hairs you got in your head. What an amazing truth that is, and how God wants us to be able to just humble ourselves in his hand and yet have a spirit of rest and confidence. Praise God. You see how David was able to say, not just, the Lord is my shepherd, but I lack nothing. Boy, that's an awesome thing, an awesome truth to be able to lay hold of. Because we tend, as we often point out, to just go by what we see and feel. We live in a material world. You know why I need a shepherd? One reason is, we don't just live in a material world. There's another world. I need somebody who's aware of all of that, who sees why I'm here and where this is all going and how to get through it. I need somebody that can tell me what to do and help me to do it. I need somebody that can give me everything that I need to get through. Praise God. And David saw that in the Lord. Lord, you're just not my sovereign, my this, my that. You're my shepherd. You know what it took for Jesus to be our shepherd? You know, he speaks about himself as the good shepherd who cares for his sheep. But he also says the good shepherd, or the shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. Do you know that's what it cost him to be able to give you, to bring you to a place where you lack nothing? Let that sink in. He stretched forth his hands. He was the one who spoke the worlds into existence, and yet The heart of God was so much towards us. Who are we that he should care about some people like us? We're just little animals scrawling around here, living selfish lives. And yet the whole purpose of God revolves around bringing us out of this into a family. Anybody here need a shepherd? Yeah, oh my God, do I need one every single day. And I believe God wants that to become more real to me, you know, today than it was yesterday, and tomorrow than it was today. He kind of has ways of doing that, doesn't he? He ever let you get in a place where you feel your need? Well, praise God. Like I say, I don't think I'm going to be up here a long time, so just pray and ask God for, you know, what he has in mind this morning. But the Lord is my shepherd. That's a present tense reality. Right now, whatever's going on, I lack nothing. Now, of course, he begins by talking about all the good stuff. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, I was thinking about that green pasture thing. And obviously that's a pleasant place where you get your food. You get exactly what you need, and it's a safe, comfortable, sunny place. And I thought about, you know, when we gather like this, is that not a pasture? If the Lord is here now, if we're just practicing religion, forget about it. But I mean, if the Lord is actually here and he is dispensing the food that comes from heaven, not just earthly philosophies and religion, but something that literally comes from heaven and has his spirit embedded in it, we're drinking life. It's not just grass that we sheep need. We need the light. We need the food from heaven. And I'll tell you, he's here. And I'll tell you, when we come to a place like this, it's him leading us into a green pasture. Thank God. May it always be a green pasture. May we never, ever get to the point where it's just going through a form. We need him right here, actively in our midst right now to lead us. Oh, God, give us that sense of how easy it is for us to go through a form. Not just here, but in the rest of our life. We need to be careful we don't come here and eat and, well, that was good, and then go on and live our lives. Amen. He needs to be my shepherd tomorrow. He needs to be leading me, okay? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Praise God. Anybody need that? But he guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. All right? How many of you know the way you're supposed to go in your life? And you got all the answers about what you're supposed to do. Folks, we don't. You remember how one of the prophets, the Lord spoke through him and said, it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. I didn't constitute you that way and particularly allow you to be in this particular world, in this particular condition, so that you could just chart your own course and everything would be great. You need me. Okay? And so the path to being all that God ever intended us to be starts with us humbling ourselves under his mighty hand. You see how Scripture all kind of gels together? We don't walk according to our own understanding. Praise God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in most of your ways, wait a minute, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And the NIV translates that as submit to him. It carries that sense. Submit to him, and he will do what? He'll make your paths straight. Folks, there isn't a thing that we do that we don't need the Lord's wisdom in. Now, that's not something I'm anxious, oh my God, am I getting it right? This is a trust. David just didn't say, I'm supposed to be a sheep. Oh, God, help me to be a sheep. Oh, God. There was a sense that I can rest. He does care. And I'm actively looking to him. And if I need an answer, he knows how to give it to me. We know from his writings that there were times he didn't have the answer. And he just looked to God. And he continued to praise God and continued to trust him. You think there are times when God does that deliberately for us because he wants us to learn how to trust him when we don't have answers and feelings? And not get to the place where we say, well, I guess he's not going to answer. I guess I got to figure it out. Boy, that's a dangerous course. But what a glorious thing it is to be able to look to Him. And David had that sense. Lord, I don't care if I'm in this place, this dark place where it doesn't look good. I'm going to praise You and I'm going to look to You. But Lord, I need Your answer. Time and time again, he would go to the prophet, which is what it took in those days. Lord, am I supposed to do this or am I not supposed to do it? And the Lord would say, yes, do it. And He would do it. Wouldn't that be a good thing if we'd ask the Lord for His wisdom, listen for it, and then do it? That's real complicated. But how many times do we hear Brother Thomas say the key to everything is to seek God and do what He says? I mean, that's the essence of the Christian life. Seek God and do what He says. Well, is He a faithful Lord? Does He actually care? Does He have the heart of a shepherd? You remember, I don't know, some of you remember this reference. When my dad was a young preacher before he ever met my mom, he was a young preacher in North Georgia at the time. And he recounts one conversation that he had with somebody to whom he was witnessing, I guess. And I think it was my dad who said, you know, I can trust somebody who died for me. Simple thought, isn't it? But this isn't just some sovereign who comes down and says, I'm going to use you and control you because I've got selfish purposes here. This is somebody who gave up everything. Everything that this world could possibly have offered him, he was willing to lay it all down and say, I give it up. I'm going to the cross. I've got something better beyond this. That's what He calls us to. Oh, I tell you, what we see in this world is worth nothing compared to what He is offering to us through the gospel. Praise God. Now, I noticed something that changes when He comes to this, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Now, what's changed there, besides the fact that it's a difficult circumstance? You look in the early parts when He's talking about lacking nothing, it says, He makes me, He leads me, He refreshes my soul, He guides me, His name's sake, it's all about Him. But now He gets in a dark place, and He doesn't say, His rod and His staff. He says, Your rod. I wonder how many times the Lord has to get us in a challenging place for it to become more personal than it is otherwise. All of a sudden, I'm looking to Him in a very personal sense. Your rod and staff, they comfort me, and so forth. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, and how many times have we pointed out that sometimes that's the way the path He marks out leads. There is a way that leads home, but I want His way. I'm not looking to just sort of sneak around the world and get what I want out of it and make something out of it. Oh, God, lead me on the path that leads to eternity, that leads to Your perfect plan for my heart and my life. Oh, God, just help me to listen. Help me to humble myself. But when I get in that time, help me to humble myself and look to You and expect. Isn't that what faith does? I don't just believe this out of a theology book or because somebody said so. This has got to become personal. I'm in that place right now. My heart is to trust in You and look to You, and I'm not giving that up. Even though it feels bad and it looks dark and the devil is screaming in my ear, You're still God. You're still my shepherd right here. And the truth of the matter is, I will fear no evil. Why? Because You are with me. I wonder how many of us realize, even when we don't feel Him near, He hasn't gone anywhere. Does this thinking, this understanding, does it need to define our lives and our thinking? Does this need to be something more than just a truth we acknowledge on Sunday? Or does this need to be something that you and I need tomorrow? I don't know how many of you right now, maybe in a valley. Well, the Lord wants you to know, the same Lord that can bring you into a lush green meadow and feed you and comfort you and strengthen you there is just as real in that valley. And He's there. And He's led you there for a reason, because He is accomplishing something that goes way beyond all of this. He's looking to work in your heart and work in my heart. Lord, I need him. And he has his ways of reminding me how much I need him. Thank God. Wouldn't it be terrible if he would allow us to live with the illusion that we can handle stuff? We need the Lord. And I'll tell you, God's people need to learn that. Didn't Peter have to learn it? When you were young, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted to go. That's Peter. Just tell me what to do, and I'm halfway down the road doing it. And the Lord had to bring him to a place where he said, when you're young, when you're old, when you got some maturity and you've learned a few things, you're going to stretch forth your hand, you're going to let somebody else dress you and take you where you don't want to go. I'll tell you, I need the Lord to show me his path, whatever that entails, because I know when I walk that path, I still have all I need. It's not just, oh, I will, I hope, maybe somehow I'll know. I have it. Has he given us everything we need to make it all the way to the other side? Is it ours? Does it belong to us? Do we not have an account in heaven's bank with our name on it that has all that he has put there? Praise his name. To God be the glory. Praise God. Do you actually believe that? I'll tell you, if this is not real to your heart, if you've never really come to this place where he truly is your shepherd, you need to be crying out to God. It's not that he doesn't want to be. It's not that you're so bad he just doesn't care. Oh God, we have to come to a place where we lay down our arms of rebellion and independence and anything that's contrary to him. We just say, Lord, my life is yours. I'm yours. Sink or swim. Whatever happens, I'm yours. And the reality is, he's going to put to death the old life, but give us a new one that can never die. That has to become real. I don't care how you subscribe to a doctrinal statement. You got to have the shepherd. Praise God. Yeah, I remember. Some of you may remember too an occasion, 200-300 years ago probably. In some British manor, there was a fancy dinner, and there was a famous actor there, and also there was a minister, kind of an ordinary minister, and someone asked the actor to recite the 23rd Psalm, and of course he did it with all the gift and the drama that he had, and then they asked the minister, and he recited it. And somebody's comment afterwards, you know, the actor knows the psalm, but that minister knows the shepherd. You think maybe the Lord wants us to be acquainted on a daily basis with the shepherd? To actually know this one who watches over every step? If we're in that dark place, he's led us there, but he's not just, okay, I'll see you later. He's right there holding our hand and giving us what we need, and we have every right to go to him for the grace and the strength. Praise God. And I don't have to qualify myself. He's done that. He just wants a humble, believing, trusting heart. Isn't that what a true sheep does? You know, sheep can be kind of stubborn. Anybody here ever been a little stubborn? But he's got a rod and a staff, doesn't he? And it's not to punish us or to beat us, but he can certainly kind of nudge us in the right direction, and he can take the hook on the end of that thing and pull us out of a bad place. And you know, didn't Jesus speak about the 99 and he went for the one sheep that was lost? He knows how to take care of his sheep. But oh, I'm so glad he doesn't use that sheep to beat us. If you're an enemy to the sheep, you better watch out. He can take care of that. But oh, how gently he uses that rod to kind of guide us along and keep us where we need to be and bring us back out of trouble when we get there. God, help us not to be so distracted. Oh, that's a great meal over there. Oh, look at that over there. Next thing you know, where is everybody? God wants us to be walking with him and just staying with the flock and looking to him. He knows how to bring his sheep all the way home. And of course, that's what this is about. And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That sounds like a strange thing, but a table is a place typically where you eat. All right, there's an enemy there. Okay, time for dinner. It sounds strange, but don't I need something to sustain me? I need spiritual food. And this is not just, okay, get the catechism out, let's go through it. This is, I need fresh spirit. I need God's life. I need the shepherd. I literally need the life that is in the shepherd imparted into my spirit, and there will be something that will give me the ability to stand there and face that enemy and see and experience the victory for which he paid the ultimate price. I need his life. I just need him. And that's the heart you get in this. This is the shepherd come to walk with his sheep and to care for them about everything in his life. And it starts, of course, when he calls us to himself. You know, the Lord says that my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And what do? They follow me. And what's the consequence of that? I give them eternal life. And the result of that is they shall never perish. The Father who gave them to me, see, this is God himself behind all of this. The Father who gave them to me, no one is able to pluck them. I forgot that part. No one is able to take them out of my hand. I got them. Has the Lord got you? Man, I want to be in his hand. That's the relationship I want. It's got to be that personal. Where he says, there's Phil, he's struggling with this and going with that direction. I got to keep my hand on him. Devil, you can't have him. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Well, Lord, do whatever it takes. Is that a prayer you want to pray? That could be a little bit dangerous to the natural man, but it needs to be. We need to die. Praise God. But he is faithful. He says, I got you. No one can pluck him out of my hand. But then he says, my Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one can pluck them out of his hand. Praise God, that's a wonderful, safe place. You think about people trying to live their lives in this world. It's not just what we see. Remember, it's a kingdom of darkness that rules over this planet. You think people can just make their own way and succeed? Good God, I need a shepherd. And I need one who laid down his life for me. That's how much... That defines his heart toward me. That he would give up everything this world could possibly offer and lay it down because that was the only way that I could have life. Only way he could share God's life with me. You anoint my head with oil. There's that sense of God's blessing. My cup overflows. Surely, that's a good word, isn't it? There's a certainty that God puts in there, and then David senses this. Because David's still in the middle of things. I mean, he can look back and see God's faithfulness, but he's also remembering that this is still going. This is an unfolding drama, my life. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There's that I will again. But this is a conviction. This is not just a statement of his choice, but the fact that this is a statement of fact. How many of us realize that though we're here in the middle of the battle, the race, the battle has already been won at the cross? Remember how we spoke last week? It wasn't Jesus saying, I've started. He said, it is finished. Thank God. That's why David could look up and say, and he didn't have the New Testament. He didn't have the details of the New Covenant. He walked in what he had, but he knew. He knew the heart of the God who had called him, who had put him on a throne, and he maintained that heart of love and confidence toward God. Oh, to God be the glory. And so he was able to find a place of rest no matter what the circumstances were. He knew his God. And his heart was reaching out to him, even to the point of saying, Lord, I don't want to just look like a good guy. I don't want to just act like a good guy. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Think about that. The words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, may they be acceptable in your sight. Oh, Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Praise God. Do you see what God is looking for from every one of us? He's not looking for your how smart you are, how wise you are, how capable you are, how worthy you are. Do we just want to be a sheep? Praise God. I just want to be a little lamb. Put my all of my hope and my confidence in Him and listen to Him, seek Him. Know that in Him, I not only have somebody who loves me, but I have all I need. I have everything I need, and the end of the story has already been written, and it turns out real good. Praise God. I just want to trust Him and look to Him every single day. So there's nothing new we've said here this morning, but I need this. You know, this is like getting into that pasture, and let's have some of that, something that would refocus our attention on where it needs to be, upon Him and His gracious provision to us. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. To Him be the glory. Praise God.
Praise God. I appreciate this morning. Like Phil said, it's good to be reminded of these things. It's nothing we have not heard before, but it's good to be reminded of these things. A couple of things Phil said, it kind of reminded me of a song, but there was something he said about, you know, the sheep, you know, and start to wander off, and it reminded me of back when I was in the band at Union Pines. We were out there, I think it was August, we were preparing our halftime show for the football game, and Mr. Cronin, the band director, all of a sudden he started saying, left flank, right flank, left flank, right flank. You know, so we were kind of doing this, and then all of a sudden, you know, he said, ready, halt. Everybody stopped, and he said, I want everybody to look to your right. So we looked to our right, and there were two trombone players about 40 yards from us. Oh, Lord, they never lived that down. But I'm not saying trombone players are stupid. I'm not saying that. But how they got off the path is beyond us. But, I mean, you've got, you know, 75 people out there, and they're the only ones doing this. So, anyway, it just kind of reminded me of your sheep. You know, we can take a wrong turn, you know, and sooner or later, the Lord's going to bring us back. You know, that. Thank God He leaves the 99 and goes after the one or the two. In that case, it was the two. So anyway, but thank God for that. But a couple things that Phil said, it brought back this song to me. And again, it's a Casting Crown song, Who Am I? And I'm gonna read it, and I'm not going to be up here long. but it starts out, Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name? That's pretty awesome right there. That, and it didn't say the Lord would know our name, the Lord to know my name and know your name. Amen. Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name? Who would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Who am I that the eyes that, I don't know, this hit me pretty hard. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love? You know, there's nothing good in us, but I tell you what, we can do things that God's not pleased with us, but He still loves us. He looks on us with love. And watch me rise again. Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today, gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. And I tell you what, the older you get, you realize this life is a vapor. And it's gone. It seemed like yesterday I was sitting down there. I was 16, 17, you know. I tell you, it goes quick. I remember hearing on the radio, this has been, oh Lord, several years ago, they were interviewing at the time the oldest lady in the world. And she was over in Japan, China, somewhere like that. And they were asking her, if you had to sum up your life, I think she was like 117 years old. I mean, she way up there, 117 years old. But anyway, they asked her, if you could sum up your life, what would you say? And she said, it went fast. 117 years, it went fast. Life is a vapor, just like that. A vapor in the wind. Still, you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. Praise God for that. I am yours. I am yours. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? Because I am yours. I am yours. Thank God that he's our shepherd, but thank God we are his. I am his. I am yours. Amen. Praise God.
As Phil was speaking, he made reference to a few different verses from this, but I just wanted to go over to John 10 and read through some of that over there, where Jesus was talking about him, you know, as our shepherd. It's a familiar scripture, but I just it blessed me as I was reading through it this morning in the light of what the Lord's emphasizing here today. But he starts in John 10. He says, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter by the sheep pen by the gate, or does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in some other way, is a thief and a robber. You know, there's a purpose God has for our lives in wanting to draw us to himself and wanting to lead us through life. But there's other things that would come in and try to steal and rob from us. There's a whole lot of other voices that would come in, a whole lot of other paths that might be presented to us, that maybe this is the way, that's the way. There's a whole lot of things that our enemy would love to use to steal from us the joy and the peace that comes from walking with him, to rob us of his blessings. There's a lot of things out there, but there is a true shepherd, and that's what we're talking about this morning, is hearing his voice. He says this, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep, and the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. And when Donald read that words that song there, I thought about that, where he said he calls his own sheep by name. You know, there's a group aspect to this when we talk about a flock and him leading us, but there's a very individual aspect to it too, in realizing that he knows us all by name. And yes, he does call us and move us, and we'll see in a minute here a little bit more of that. He calls and moves us together as a flock, but there's a very individualness too, that of knowing he knows my name. He knows our individual name. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And I thought this was interesting. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them. Isn't that interesting? He doesn't bring out a few and say, all right, the really strong sheep, the really smart ones, y'all go on ahead. These really the other ones here, they'll just have to lag behind and catch it. No, thank God he has put us together as a part of a flock. And we're blessed to be part of his flock. And the Lord calls all of us out, and he's going to move all of us on together. So there's definitely a group aspect to it too, and I'm thankful to be a part of that. But when he's called all of when he's brought out all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Isn't that a comfort to know that wherever the path does lead, even if it is into the valley of the shadow of death, that he has already gone before us? He calls out the sheep, and then he goes on ahead to make the way, to prepare the way. And what he's calling us to follow is a way he's already been and already prepared. There's a great comfort in knowing that. We're not making it up as we go along. We're not having to chart this course and figure it out as we go. Our shepherd has been ahead of us, and he has prepared this way for us. So when he's brought us all out, all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Well, praise God. That's where the Lord's helping us to get to, isn't it? To learn to recognize things that aren't his voice and not go that way, not follow that. He's teaching us. I tell you the truth. I'll just jump down to verse 7 there. He says, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. You know, sometimes you hear that talk about being led and even led into the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't sound exactly appealing naturally. But I believe if God gives us eyes to see it, we can see what he's doing in our lives. And, you know, yes, there is a death that happens. But, you know, I was thinking about what the scripture talks about in places where it compares to plants. And it talks about pruning plants. And you know what the process of pruning is, right? You're going in and you're cutting stuff off, but you're not cutting stuff off so that there will be nothing. You're not just cutting it off so that there will be nothing there. You're cutting it off so that it can grow back fuller. So that it can actually grow back. You're cutting off parts that are unfruitful, that don't bear fruit, so that something new can grow there that will bear fruit. And that's the thing. You know, I believe that's what God wants us to realize is these things he's doing in the ways that he leads us that we sometimes don't understand, sometimes don't even like. The things that he's doing, yes, it's killing things, but it's not for the purpose of just getting rid of bad stuff. There's a part of that death that has to happen, but the real purpose of that is so that his life can grow in its place. It's not so he can just cut off all the bad stuff and leave a vacuum or leave us like a little stump, like the bushes out in front of the church. That's a cutting back. But I tell you what, they're not going to stay like that forever. They've been cut back pretty severely before, and they came back with a vengeance. And, you know, it didn't take a little time, but that thing's going to come back. And that is what God wants to realize is, yeah, there's some cutting off, but it's not just to get rid of stuff and make some kind of spiritual vacuum there. It's to free you from that. So that my life can grow in its place, something that can bear fruit. And that is, I think that helps us sometimes to trust the journey. To know the purpose of the journey sometimes helps us trust in the middle of the journey. And that's what he came for, that we might have life. Not that we might just be dead, but there's stuff that has to die, but it's for his life to be in the full, to have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, the hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. And then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You know, we even see a picture of that in the scriptures in David. You know, he wrote that 23rd Psalm, you know, when he was being questioned about why he was crazy enough to volunteer to fight Goliath. He had a testimony, didn't he, about how as a shepherd there had been an occasion where a lion had come out to threaten his sheep, or another occasion where there had been a bear, and God gave him the courage and the grace and the victory to go deal with him. I know he slew the lion. I don't remember if it says he killed the bear or drove him off, but either way, whatever it was, God enabled him to deal with that. That's kind of like, if you just imagine being in that position, you know, it wasn't like he had a high-powered rifle out there and was watching, you know, a lion came out, you'd kind of be like, wow, that's a pretty threatening situation. But David was invested in those sheep. That was his responsibility. That was his place. And he didn't take it lightly. And somehow God gave him the courage. I don't know if he knew what he was going to do, but he ran out after it and said, I guess, God, you're going to have to help me when I get there. But he gave him the victory over that situation. But just that picture there, you know, with what Jesus is saying here, he says, I lay down my life for the sheep. That is how invested he is in this. You know, because there's that one scripture that says, it's in Isaiah, I think, where he talks about how can you say, oh, Israel, that my way is hidden from my God and God's forgot about me. You know, remember that passage? And he's like, how can you think that? He said, I can no more forget about you than a mother can forget about her nursing child. That's the level of investment that he has in us in this journey. And the idea is no matter where that path goes, he is going to be right there with us. We may feel alone sometimes, but we are not alone. He will never leave us. And you think about the poem that you hear so often about the footsteps in the sand, you know, on the beach, and how he said, you know, yeah, times you thought you were alone, that's when I was carrying you, but you were never alone. And that's what he's saying here. I lay down my life for the sheep. Of course, he did that literally, but there's that sense of, this is how invested God is in this journey. He did not bring us this far to leave us, folks. He never has, he never will. He's promised it in his word. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. Well, praise God, that's us. As of who he was talking to right then and there that day, we're some of the other sheep that he had that were part of his sheep pen that he's brought in time. Thank God for that. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, but not to just stay dead. I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I've received from my Father. Well, we don't have the same calling Jesus did, but we do have the calling to do the same thing he did and lay down our life. But it's for the purpose of taking it up again, but not our life. See, when we take that back up, it won't just be this life we lay down. It'll be the life of God that's grown and that's increased. And then we can actually be a part of that, bringing other sheep to the sheepfold that aren't here now. We can actually be a part of that and be his hands extended and to go out and help others, to draw them into this. And so it's all a part of what God's doing. But it is refreshing for the Lord sometimes just to help us lift up our eyes, get out of the immediate circumstances. Because we do that. You know, we get to where sometimes the old saying, you don't see the forest for the trees. You're so fixated on the trees, you don't see the bigger picture. Sometimes I think he wants to just help us see that bigger picture, that there is a purpose in it, and that he is leading us the ways he's leading us. And if we will trust him as his shepherd, if we're willing to lay down our life, trust our shepherd, he will prove his faithfulness, because he is absolutely committed to what he started in our lives. So I just praise him this morning for this encouragement.